Okay, now when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you precious Blood River Radio family members out there. And I would like to welcome you back into yet another 3 hours of trying to get the real news out there to try to help us, help you, it both goes both ways, to fight against the one, that flagship effort that we have here. Our only purpose of Blood River Radio, our flagship purpose, is to fight against the ongoing program of global white genocide, especially global white Christian genocide. It's going full speed right now, people. So thank you so much for tuning in. And where is N? N is Blood River Radio. We are proudly syndicated nationwide and all over creation by Liberty News Radio, with Sam and Jay and Miss Lizzie and the whole crew. And, you know, before we do anything, we always have a prayer on Blood River Radio, and we'll go to the rest of just a second. By the way, I forgot to say, it is December the 20th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ 2025, a.k.a. Christmas week. It's coming, I'm here. A lot of people are kind of getting kind of afraid to say Merry Christmas, but we're damn sure not afraid to say it here. Anyway, people, before we go further, we don't like to do anything until we say a prayer. And we have brother, my much younger brother, spirit son, really, Jason Robb, attorney at law. He is going to take us to the Lord in prayer. He's graciously consented to do that. So if you will, Jason, go ahead and take us to prayer, son.
Sure. Everyone, please bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come here and for this 3 hours be able to share some just wonderful news. We pray that you will just give us the ability to remain faithful and courageous during these days upon the atrocity we see upon our people. We pray that we always give you the glory for everything you do for us in our personal lives as well as for our nation. We ask that you always watch out over our hosts here, our guests for the next 3 hours, all the listeners. Continue to put your blessings on Blood River Radio, that we can be an instrument in reaching our people, to give them hope and encouragement, and know that all hope is not lost. We're just thankful for your faithfulness to your people. We ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so very much. And we also have a great warrior in here. He's joined in. He's a full spell, got all feet, all 4 feet, all 2 feet in the battle against global white genocide. It's Will Franklin. And people, if you know, the next thing we do here on Blood River Radio, I'm looking for them. We have donors this week. And not only do we have donors, we have got a bunch of Christmas cards. And let me see. We got one from one of my friends I usually hear from about twice a year. None of you people know her. I'll just say Miss Karen from Montana. Back in 2001, we made my first ever elk hunting trip out west. It was in Montana. It was in the what is that wilderness area out there? The largest, the Bob Marshall Wilderness, the largest wilderness area in the United States. It's so big, it goes up into Canada. And when I was there, I saw grizzly bears, I saw eagles, I saw elk, I saw mule deer, I saw them all. I killed an elk, as a matter of fact, the second year out there. But anyway, Miss Carrot, her husband, rest his soul, he'd be in his 90s if he was alive. he guided our hunt while we were out there, and you could not believe that man. It was like living. It was like reading something happened in the 1870s with Gunsmoke. I mean, those guys were so rough and rugged and tough, and make these football players look like the mamby pambies. I swear to God. Anyway, they took care of me. The next year, I went out there with my best friend in the world in Alabama. We won't mention his name because he's scared. He might lose his stuff. But if he's listening, he probably won't really say that. But we got a card from Miss Karen in Ovando, Montana. And bless her sweetheart. She's great. We keep in touch. And that was my first. I was able to go out there three times. That was before the IRS got me. And now I'm barely able to get out of Memphis. Well, thank you so much, Miss Karen, for sending that Christmas card. And also, we got a great Christmas card and a donation from Purple Heart buddy. He was in the Southeast Asia. If you get my drift, he was up close and personal with the VC. He got the limp to prove it. I'm looking right at his card, Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone AZ. Thank you so much for your card. Thank you so much for he donates every month just like clockwork. Do anything for that brother, a fellow brother, fighting. Both of us fought for the New World Order and what is it, all the international bankers. But anyway, he knows that as well as I do. Anyway, we also got a great donation from Sasquatch, in a great car from Sasquatch of the Swamps of Florida. Sasquatch knows who I'm talking about. And also we get the never-ending, I wouldn't say never-ending, it'll end someday, but the great donation from Biscuit. Without Biscuit, without these people I'm talking about that donate to this show, there would be no Blood River Radio people, because we have precious few donors. We have just a few. What Biscuit says, our support is organic. We have no big donors. We have very few college professors on, because we don't carry water for the Jews like a lot of other people do. We will never carry water. We might take a bucket of water and throw it in their face if it's got a little dog piss in it, but that's about all we'll do for them. Who else? We also have, I'm looking. Oh, Miss Buddy. Miss Buddy's the presser heart. Can't say too much about Miss Buddy, but I would like to thank them so much for keeping Blood River Radio on there. And we can't do it without money. We really can't do it. But anyway, I'm not going to plead for money this week. But I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And also, if I can find the message that Miss Teenage America sent me last week, if I can pull that up. She sent me one, and somebody else, and they sounded anonymous. They said, if you want to, you can read my message on the air. Just say it was by a friend. And if I can find it, I most certainly will. If the friend is listening, maybe he can send it to me, you know, but I'll certainly read it. It warmed me from my feet to my head. People, I'll just say one more thing before we go to our guest. There is a God. There is a God. I do seem James. A lot of people don't. It's just the first. It's the only Bible I ever started, because I used to be borderline atheist, and the Bible was given to me about the fellow who baptized me. He's gone on to see the Lord now. But there is a God in heaven. I'll say it, as scriptures say. But you don't listen. You don't need a Bible. You don't need a minister. You don't need anything. I'll tell you how I came to the Lord. I'll make this real quick. I was praying my guts out. I was asking for one thing only, for faith. And to get me out of some of the misery I was going through. And like a lightning bolt, I'm not kidding you, it's like I was electrocuted. In this microsecond, I felt it. I knew exactly what it was. It knocked me sideways in a chair, and I was never the same. Now, my faith is at high now. It gets down very, very low. On a 10-point scale, sometimes it gets to a 2, and I pray I can get it back. I think I'm kind of like King David. King David never lost his salvation, but he lost his joy. Anyway, so much for that talk about me, whatever pronoun y'all want to talk about. But anyway, we're going to go to Jason Robb, my spirit son. He's going to take off covering articles. It's very vital to the well-being of the white race nationwide. And Will is going to chime in with them. And this is primarily going to be their hour here, y'all, because I'm just going to lean back and let these guys. We have great, great talent, better than I've got. Smarter, you're younger and smarter. So anyway, Jason, go ahead, brother. Take us off, buddy.
Sure. Well, I know you say you won't do this, Eddie, but I will. I will beg for money. I will beg for everyone out there listening to, you know, send $20, $30, $40 to Blood River Radio. get a card and send some money for an early Christmas present to Blood River Radio and help for the continual year. Just a little bit of money like that can help so much. And so during this time of year, I would really encourage every listener out there to do that. And so, you know, we neglect to do that. I know I have neglected that in the past, and I'll be sending some money to you, Eddie, here in a week or so. But a lot of people, you know, we get busy, but we don't realize the amount of money it costs to keep the show going and give these listeners hope. And that's what we need to give our people out there hope, knowing that there are people out there fighting for them. And Blood River Radio is just one of those programs that do that.
Thank you so much, Jason. God bless you. We'll hear the music. We got to go to a quick break. We'll be back, and I'll comment on your comment as soon as we come back this break. Be right back, folks.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
A Bienes is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to read this great, great message I got from one of our supporters. Almost makes me cry, it really does. I'm an emotional SOB. It says, Dear Eddie, 2025 has been a wonderful year filled with blessings beyond measure. We're thankful for Jesus' sacrifice and precious gift of salvation. He's the reason we celebrate Christmas. So let us remember and cherish him always. And there's a beautiful cross, crucifix right to the right where it says, cherish him always. May your holiday season be filled with a reflection of God's love with happiness and joy. Merry Christmas, an anonymous friend. And I'd like to thank that anonymous friend from the bottom of my heart because that lifted me up. That boy, it seems like there's divine intervention. That message lifted me up to the heavens when I saw that. But I certainly appreciate that. Now, whoever that sent that, I hope they're listening. I bet they are. I bet they are. Anyway, Jason, go right back to you, son. And like I tell our listening family, rest of the hour is going to be you and Will. And I'm just going to sit back and bring y'all in and out of the breaks. So go ahead, Jason.
Sure. So I'm going to read real quick out of Luke 1:32-33, and I'm going to segue it into what we're going to be talking about. But in Luke, it says, talking about Jesus Christ, it says, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so with Christmas being literally just a few days, I was reading that this morning, and it just really hit me because, you know, the fact that this time of year, our people, our white Christians, historically, our people, Jesus Christ has been a natural, we've naturally accepted him. But the Jews, these false Jews, the fake Jews out there that we see in Israel, which are not biblically the covenant people in the Bible that we read about, those Jews and what we see in Washington, D.C., they despise Jesus Christ. They despise Christianity. They despise Christians. And so this time of year, you know, when we really have reverence to our Lord and Savior, you know, there are people out there, you know, specifically the Jewish element, the supremacists out there, that literally hate and despise everything that we believe in when it refers to Jesus Christ. And so that is something that we really need to be mindful of, that there are those out there that sitting in our seat of House of Representatives and our senators, governors, under, you know, the administration of the presidency, that does not like white Christianity. They don't like old America because it has always represented a white Christian country. And so when I was reading that this morning, I was just kind of reflecting on that you hear people out there saying, "No, I'm a Judeo-Christian. I'm a Judeo-Christian," and they don't even understand what that actually means. Judeo-Christian basically means you're trying to Judaize Christianity. You're trying to change Christianity, and so, you know, we need to really be mindful. We need to have a discernment out there that we can't fall into this trap thinking that these Antichrist Jews are one of us, that they're on our side, because they do not. They hate our people. They hate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's reflected in different policies that we see, reflected in Israel, from immigration to race mixing, homosexuality, all these agendas that our people historically have been against. They have been behind them pushing those agendas. And so we need to really, reflect on that. You know, this time of year that we had, you know, over 2,000 years ago, we had our Lord and Savior was born to defeat the enemy, and we are in the same battle as he was over 2,000 years ago. And so, you know, even though we have this reverence of remembering Jesus Christ being born, we also need to remember that the same people that despised and hated him, and despise the concept of him being the king, they totally hate. And so this has been an eternal struggle for going on for thousands of years, and we need to be vigilant about that. And so, you know, one of the articles you have sent me, Eddie, that I want to talk about is, you know, the idea of the menorah that, you know, we often see on the White House lawn, and different other parts of government buildings, is the menorah. And people think, oh, that's really nice and that's sweet, you know, and they kind of just think that's just another reflection of Christianity. And if anyone knows the history of the menorah, it reflects a people that does not love Jesus Christ, that despise Jesus Christ. And those same people are over there in Israel today. They literally hate and everything that America represents, and they hate what our Lord and Savior represents. And so I know I kind of was on a tangent, but, you know, we need to continually reflect on that those are not our allies over there, and they're not our allies here in the United States either.
Jason, do you mind if I jump on your tangent a little
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm going to read one quick message from guys that are listening to you guys. This is just in. James Edwards called, and James listens to our show quite often. And he says, tell Jason and Will they have to have 100% unadulterated napalm if they want to keep the airwaves as hot as the Bombardier likes. And I'm sure y'all would do that. But anyway, James says that he's listening to you guys. So he says y'all have your A-team. Bring your A-game. Go ahead, guy. Go ahead, Jason. I mean, excuse me. Go ahead, Will.
Well, I guess, James. Let me let me, for James' comment, let me light the fuse and step back and see what happens here.
So, I need two fuses.
Yeah, Jason is 100% right. And with this story that Jason's talking about is, you know, they lit up this gigantic menorah there on the White House lawn or at the White House. And in honor of the United States' overlord, the state of Israel. And what for me that told me was we have to be as bold as the King of Kings. And I am reminded of the story out of the book of John where it was festival time. And no one at the festival would speak the name of Jesus for the fear of the Jews. And they were whispering and going behind each other's backs, but they didn't want to be heard saying the name of Jesus for fear of retribution from the Jews. Jesus and his disciples there to kind of check everything out, and little did they know, Jesus himself was slipping into the festival because he was going to be as bold as a king should. And he showed no fear, and he went amongst the Jews and proclaimed his father's truth. So at this Christmas time, and I will say, Christmas is uniquely European. If you look at the traditions of Christmas, it is our holiday, and it's our holiday because it represents and celebrates the birth of our Lord. It celebrates the birth of the Savior of all mankind, but he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that's us. And time honoring, if you look through history, our people have revered Christmas because of Jesus Christ. So when they try to pervert that, when they try to put a menorah up or whatever, I say, let's not be like those people who wouldn't speak his name for fear of the Jews. Let's follow the example that our King gave us and boldly speak and say, you know, we are celebrating the birth of Christ. And you're celebrating the people who murdered him, because that's what the menorah means to me. It wasn't the Roman folks. The Romans didn't murder Jesus. It was the Jews. It was the Pharisees who cast him into his ultimate fate of that crucifixion. And this, to me, Jason, this is the perfect time of year when you hear those Judeo-Christians that you can't have. You know, there's no bigger oxymoron than a Judeo-Christian. As Christians, we love Christ. The Jews hate Christ. They are the Antichrist. So those two things don't make sense when you use them in connection with one another. But when you have those people that bring up the menorah and that sort of thing, there is no better time to point out the biblical truth of who led Christ to that cross and who were his accusers, and that was the Jews.
One more note, y'all. This just in, this will be quick. December 16th was the 187th year anniversary of the Battle of Blood River, or the Day of the Vow. And that's where we got our name, our namesake for Blood River Radio, because the Battle of Blood River, 187 years ago this month, y'all. That was just in, and James Edwards sent that to me to remind me of it. Thank you, James. Thanks again, buddy, and keep listening to Blood River Radio, but make sure you got your asbestos underwear on, son. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, it's good to reflect on obviously that battle that is talking about a divine intervention from our Lord and Savior on Blood River 187 years ago. That anyone that researches and studies that event only can come back and realize that it was those people were divinely protected. Not a single soul was lost. And so, you know, our people historically, like Will said, has always been Christians. We have always been a Christian people for hundreds and thousands of years since Jesus Christ. And even before that, our people were his same blood. And What we see now is an attack. I hear the radio or the music, so when we come back, I'll talk more about that.
Thank you so much, Jason. People, you have plenty of time to get some coffee or use the restroom, whatever you want. You get at least about a good 4 minutes, so, but don't be late. Don't stay over 4 minutes. Be right back, folks.
Mm-hmm. Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. Michael Graham with the NTSB confirms one person aboard the plane crash that killed ex-NASCAR driver Greg Biffle and six others did send a text message about an emergency landing.
The NTSB is aware of one brief text from a passenger on board the aircraft to a family member that read, and I quote, emergency landing. Again, that's emergency landing. We are not aware of any other communications from passengers on board the aircraft to those on the ground.
Turning Point USA American Fest conference began Thursday night with some stark public disagreements at the podium. Mrs. Erica Kirk, widow of the organization's slain founder, Charlie, lamented the division, speaking during her opening remarks.
When he was assassinated, we saw infighting. We've seen fractures. We've seen bridges being burned that shouldn't be burnt. We saw a lot on full display.
She went on to tell attendees to embrace the differences, saying, "You won't agree with everyone on this stage this weekend, and that's okay. Welcome to America." At the Turning Point USA American Fest conference, attendee Emma Paskett, a student at Brigham Young, says Erica Kirk is an inspiration.
She's definitely the biggest female conservative role model for me right now. She's beautiful, she's smart, she's so reverent and humble, and I think exactly the kind of leader that most young conservative women want to be.
More than a decade ago, a frenzied five-day search for the Boston Marathon bombers left some lessons in the aftermath. One was that increasingly pervasive surveillance technology could help catch the culprits. Another was that amateur online sleuths could not. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com for Think Factor.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I guess we're going to transition over into Martin Luther and Christmas, and I'll just chime in. I have a book. I've never get completely through with the book. It's Martin Luther, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and another attorney gave it to me. But Martin Luther, I'll make this quick since we brought up. He traveled to Jerusalem, you know, before he, Rome, wherever, but he traveled, yeah, but to the church, for the, I guess in Rome. And he saw how corrupt the church had become, that the priests were selling penances, and it was totally corrupt, the prostitutes everywhere. And I guess that's, guys, I know y'all know more about it than I do, but I guess that's probably where he got, you know, fed up with all the crap and nailed the so many theses, what, 99 theses, what it was, to the church house. I didn't know the chapel over there in Germany, but I'm going to shut the hell up and go to Will. Go ahead, Will.
Wittenberg. Yeah, Wittenberg was the chapel that he nailed those theses to. And something else kind of along those lines, it's not really about Christmas, but, man, I'll bring it up. And I don't want to take any time away from Jason, but I love talking about Martin Luther, especially to Judeo-Christians. Martin Luther, you know, the great reformer, the man who's credited with, you know, the Protestant church of breaking away and you know, teaching the doctrine of we don't need priests or intermediaries. We can go straight to Jesus Christ. And really also with the Gutenberg Bible with movable type, really, as far as being a Christian, that was an amazing time to be alive, because Martin Luther in the 1500s advocated reading on your own and promoting literacy, and for the purpose of being able to read Holy Scripture, and really preaching out of the book of John that the Word is God, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. And so he really was fundamental in pushing that biblical literacy to our people to get us back into communion with the Lord. But something that's interesting is, you know, we know all of that stuff, and we know him as the great reformer. One of the things that doesn't get talked too often is the fact that Martin Luther felt a burden, for whatever reason, that he wanted to proselytize to the Jews. He decided he was going to reach out to the Jews, and he traveled and met with three rabbis. This is a well-documented historical fact, and he met with three rabbis.
We do that every week.
And after... Yeah, right. After meeting with these rabbis, they did something that was amazing at the time, because the Talmud is, you know, typically a protected a piece of trash that they don't want getting out. And Luther read the Talmud, and after reading the Talmud, in his own words, his own writings, he decided that it was his mission from God to expose the Jews and their lies, to the point of where, if you go back and read some of his own words, his solution to the Jewish problem was to burn everything they own, to burn their synagogues to the ground, to drive them out of Europe, out of Christendom. You know, and he listed these things. There was the book that he wrote was called On the Jews and Their Lies. And it's still out there. And Henry Ford, years and years and years later, actually used some of Luther's writings when he put out The International Jew. So I said all of that to say this: I'm a fan of Martin Luther, and here in this Christmas season, it should be said that Martin Luther is credited with using the evergreen fir tree as the first Christmas tree. And much like St. Patrick used the shamrock to explain the Trinity to the Celtic pagans of the time, Luther did somewhat of the same thing, using the evergreen fir tree and lighting it with candles to explain the everlasting life that's found through Jesus Christ with the evergreen fir. and really explaining the nativity with the stars and the skies and that sort of thing, and the everlasting light of Jesus Christ through lighting the tree. And those are the traditions that are 500 plus years old now that are still carried on amongst our people that we don't really know where it came from. And it came from the great reformer as a representation of Jesus Christ. So when you hear these folks, and there's a lot of folks out there that like to get legalistic and point to, oh, that's just a pagan holiday that was adopted and all that. I kind of look at it as this, folks, the world hates Christ. You know, they don't want his truth and his name to be spoken. And this is a time of year where it's readily accepted and we can do it. And we need to make hay when the sun shines, is the way I look at it. It's a great opportunity to talk about some truths and open up the doors to things like Martin Luther and how he felt about certain people.
Cool,
yeah, absolutely, Will. I mean, and most people are not aware that the present day Jews, even all the way to going back, you know, during Martin Luther's days. They despise Martin Luther because they
absolutely
know that he uncovered what they actually believed in, that the Talmudism is such a horrible book, definitely anti-Christ. You know, the average person out there, you know, they look at the Talmudism and they just think, oh, that's just what the Jews over there, that's what they believe in, but they don't understand the filth that Talmudism and Judaism teaches. You know, I mean, they teach and actually believe that Jesus Christ is boiling in hot excrement right now. They say that Mary was a whore. These are horrible, horrible things that they believe in. And so when people talk about the Jews, that they just believe just like us, they just don't believe in Jesus Christ. No, it goes a lot further than that. And Martin Luther was one of the main proponents that uncovered all that and started preaching that. And even, like you said, Will, was in favor for the mass population to start reading the Bible because the Jews did not want that. Because when people start reading the Bible,
that's right,
and they start understood their past and who they were and being racially connected to Israel, they did not want that, and so they despised Martin Luther. They despised Christianity back then, and they despised Christianity, and still despise Martin Luther because he still is a representation of his hatred towards Talmudism and Judaism.
Let me give you this, because these are his own words. This is Martin Luther's own words. After, like Jason was saying, after reading the Talmud and studying the Talmud, Martin Luther wrote these things. He said the answer, the remedial actions is what he called them, the remedial actions to take care of the Jewish problem was to, one, burn down Jewish synagogues and schools and warn Christian people against them, to refuse to let Jews to own houses among Christians, to take away Jewish religious writings from the public sector, to forbid rabbis from preaching, to offer no protection to a Jew on the highway as he travels, and to give young, strong Jews the flail, the axe, and the spade, and the spindle, and let them earn their bread by the sweat of their brow if they choose to eat. That was what Martin Luther said, that that's how we should handle that problem. So I think it's clear where he stood after, and that was just after reading the Talmud. That's all that it took for him to decide where those people stood in the face of Christianity.
Yeah, and that is a history that is not taught, and definitely it's not taught nowadays. Up until very recently, I would say up until, you know, the 30s and 40s. It was pretty well known that the Jews were anti-Christ. They did not believe in Christianity. They hated Jesus Christ. And now, you know, we have this doctrination that, you know, they just believe like us. They believe everything we believe in. They just don't believe in Jesus Christ. And so they try to soften that to make it so our defenses are no longer up. And so, you know, even I just finished a book a couple of weeks ago. It was written by a Jew, and it was actually a book about the early Jews in America. And there was a chapter that basically said that right before the 1600s and 1700s that Jews were not permitted to even enter the United States because there was so they were anti-Christians. And so the early forefathers did not want Jews to enter the United States because it was a Christian country. And so they, there's been just a long history of them despising everything believe in. And Christmas is one of those times that they literally hate because of the fact that we set this day, like you said, Will, it's a holy day for us. It's a time for reflection of our Lord and Savior, of Jesus Christ being born and defeating death and being a redeemer to our people. And the Jews cannot tolerate that, and they're an antichrist.
They hate it so much, Jason, because at that time frame of Jesus's life and teaching, they wanted to wipe his name off the face of the earth. They thought that by sending him to death, that he would be forgotten for all time. And now in time immemorial, we celebrate his birth every year, and it kills them. It hates them. And that's why our people should celebrate Christmas even more.
We got to go to a quick break, Will. Be right back, folks. Just a very quick break. You don't have long. Don't be late getting back.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lizzie. Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm flat enjoying this. I really owe a debt to these two great warrior gentlemen that have come in to help push this this tank forward. Like I've said before, I'll say it again. You know, when we got this, when I got Blood River Radio going, my vision was to get the best people I could possibly get to come in here and help do this. General George Catlett Marshall, five-star general of World War II. Most people never heard of him. He was second only to FDR. He was superior to Eisenhower and Patton and all those. You hardly ever hear of him. He said pretty much the same thing that that Benjamin Franklin said. He said, if you can ever get rid to control your ego, he said, you can almost accomplish anything. General George Catlett Marshall said, if you don't care who gets the credit, you can accomplish, the sky's the limit. Almost what you can accomplish is almost unlimited. And so I'm people are coming in here to help Blood River Radio, and they're doing a superb job. So I hope you will appreciate the talent, so to speak, and the sincerity and the good-heartedness, the what's the word I'm looking for? The dedication these two gentlemen have coming on Blood River Radio, Jason and Will. They're doing the Lord's work, I guarantee them to you. Well, I'm going to shut up right now and go back to you, Jason, I guess. I'm notorious for forgetting who spoke last, but
we talked about... Well, we were during the break, he had brought up, we were talking about Christmas and with the Jews, and you had brought up about Australia, about... there's a push over there to try to censor any type of criticism for the Jews or their Jewish policies reflecting their laws and stuff like that. And so that, we can kind of talk about that, but that's kind of a reflection of the Jews themselves, is they do not want to be criticized, and they don't want to be criticized about anything. And so... in Australia, a lot of people are not aware of it, there's a massive immigration issue going on in Australia, just like every other white country. No mm-hmm. white country is immune to it. And Australia, for years and years, has been a beautiful white Christian country. And last 20, 30 years, you have all these Arabs and Muslims, anti-Christians that's been flooded in there, which the policy has been because of the Jewish policies. They're always behind the policies to bring non-whites into your white countries. And so now you have all these non-whites coming into Australia, and now they are now going against the Jews. Now they're fighting against the Jews, and the Jews are kind of like, oh, what's going on here? Well, you created the problem. You created Frankenstein. And now white people are having to deal with it. And so now Jews over there are now wanting censorship to anyone criticizing their policies and their agendas. And so that, I think that's a reflection of what's happening all across Europe, Australia, here in the United States, about the massive immigration, which, again, is an anti-white policy, anti-Christian policy that Jews been behind. And so I know, Will, you have some thoughts about that.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I could top what you said. That was done so succinctly. But the main thing that I would say or add on to it is coming soon to a country near you, because Jason is 100% right. The same sort of censorship that we're talking about in Australia with the criticizing of the Jews and the name of tolerance and all that sort of stuff, the UK is suffering under currently. And you see it regularly. You'll catch a news article here or a news article there, that someone has been arrested for, defaming a Muslim or defaming a Jew with these posts. And that type of system that's in the UK, I think you're going to see permeate to Australia. I think this is going to pass. I don't think for a moment that it won't. I think we're going to see the same thing on this continent, in Canada and the United States, that are at least the move for it. And one of the things that comes to mind, and I may bastardize the quote, but it's show me who you can't criticize and I'll show you who your rulers are. And that's we should be very aware of that at least as Americans, that is one of the freedoms that's enshrined in our Constitution is a God-given right, is the ability to criticize those in power. So that's kind of my comment on it. And I'll say this, though, just to throw this out there for everybody's consideration. In 1996, Australia virtually banned all ownership of firearms, personal ownership of firearms, a virtual ban on firearms, very highly regulated, maybe the most regulated country in the world when it comes to firearms ownership.
Wow, so more than the UK? Incident,
even more than the UK, Eddie. It is, I think it was the Port Arthur massacre that happened there. I think I might be wrong on that, but that was in 1996. So here we are 30 years later, and I'm looking at the usual suspects and how they go about, right? It's problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialectic. This is what the enemy does, our enemy, the Jew. And so you have this massacre, whether it was contrived or not, that was a celebration of Hanukkah on the beach there at Bondi Beach, and two Arabs are able to produce two long guns, and they had to shoot them up. Well, first off, it's come out that this father and son duo, they owned six firearms between them two legally. That's impossible. That is almost impossible in Australia to own six firearms personally. Secondly, if you do own a firearm personally, it has to be at a legitimate sporting shooting range under lock and key, and you can only go visit your gun. You can't take it home with you. It has to stay there at a regulated facility, but somehow these men were able to have their guns. I say all that to say this. As of today, Saturday, the December the 20th, Australia now is saying no more guns, period. They're going to do everything they can on top of this Jewish criticism bill, this anti-Semitic bill or whatever they're calling it. They're now saying no personally owned firearms, period. They're going to do away even with the ones that are used for the legitimate sporting purposes. So just wanted to throw that out there in this conversation, that there is a greater, I think, goal here. And they love to disarm our people. And this is going to be used for that. So just wanted to throw that out there if y'all hadn't heard.
I got a question for Jason before we go back to Jason. Jason, you know, I'll make it real quick, that Admiral Yamamoto said that back before World War II, right before they bombed Pearl Harbor, that it would be impossible to invade the United States because he said there would be a rifle behind every blade of grass. And it's true. They say the United States is probably the most heavily armed country in the world. But my question to you, Jason, is, son, how many of us do you think would have the stomach? How many of our people have the will when it hits the fan? And it's going to hit the fan sooner or later. It's probably in my lifetime, and I'm old. How many of us, our brothers, will we have the will, the stomach to do what's going to have to be done, Jason?
I think our people will, but I think, you know, sometimes people have the concept that it's just all of a sudden just everyone is just going to grab their arms and wake up. I think it's going to be more what we've been calling it, localism. I think you're going, you know, it could be balkanization, localism, but I think you're going to have different parts of the country within parts of different states, different regions, where you have people that are being more, are going to rise up and defend their homeland, and that's going to be majority of your white populations. That's just something everyone is saying. I mean, even Time magazine 10 years ago said there was going to be white anxiety crisis, and this was 10 years ago when they said that with the population becoming more and more non-white, you're going to have whites in certain geographic areas of the United States that's going to start galvanized, start assembling together and thinking of themselves as a tribe, as a race. And so I think that's going to happen organically. And so like that kind of answers the question. I think that that's what happens when you have, historically, our people have been independent people, Christian people, and they love their guns, they love their firearms, because that is a representation, it's an extension of themselves to protect themselves and their families. And I don't think they will easily give that up. I think they're going to hide those firearms. You know, they're not going to just randomly just start turning them to the government. I think they're going to hide them. And so I have confidence that's what will happen. It's just going to be over a period of time. I don't think it's going to happen immediately.
You know, Jason and Will, it would be critical. It would be great if we had, there's not many, I was talking to my wife just today, just since Charlottesville, most of the white rights patriot groups have vanished, gone to the high grass. I know that the Nice Party are still left standing, but it'd be nice if we had some kind of a outreach program to other states, at least ones in the South, where we could reach out to other leaders in the South and get some kind of a program, like a militia, as you will, or organize a constitutional militia under the several states, led by maybe a constitutional sheriff or the constitutional posse. I gave that in a speech one time years ago at a TPC family get-together. Wished I could remember that speech, but it would be, you know, instead of people just like Don Wassel says, well, he just can't imagine people at Walmart getting ready to arm and everything. And get in the streets. But if I would like to point out to people like that, it was only the 3% or less people participated in the first war of independence. People have run completely out of time. I wish we had a few more minutes to ask Jason and Wills a few more questions, but we're completely out of time. We're going to try to get this super special guest on for the second hour. I'm not going to say who he is, but because we may not be able to get him. Depends on how the internet is in a communist Croatia. So we'll be right back, folks. This is a long break. Got plenty of time to get some coffee, et cetera, et cetera. And thank you so much, Jason, for bringing me. I will be staying in contact with you. You do the same thing. Be right back, folks.